It's called The Black Man Is God. It's called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. It'll be the easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can move me? You really do? Anybody on your watch? Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet, a prophet.
Goal ain't have a net. Who would have dreams and karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the section. Nah, I was legends, rest in peace, Pop's a legend, Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday. It's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, night coast and blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them. Never write about me like him. Never make me think wrong. Just make me angry. Never, never make me go underdog. And never talk about who's going to stop me. Well, ain't nobody going to stop me. Not a heavyweight in the world fast enough to stop me.
Yep. It's your boy Jay Hicks back with another edition of the Hip Hop Sports Report Podcast. Today is Saturday, November the 10th of 2018. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I am a father again for the second time. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I know you're applauding in your cars or on the couch or while you're cleaning up, doing the dishes, wherever you are listening to this. Yeah, I had a baby girl on back in September, at the end of September. Her name is Reagan. We love her very much. She has 10 fingers, 10 toes, gorgeous eyes, a head full of hair, and all the personality in the world. And we love her dearly, man. Mommy and baby are healthy, and we're happy, so... You know, it's all good in the hood over here, but, you know, it's been a little bit crazy, as you guys might imagine, with a new baby. So I haven't been able to get the podcast out like I want to, but here we are. We got a special occasion for a couple of reasons. For one, we have a trade in the NBA took place today involving Jimmy Butler, as DJ Froggy Fresh said, Jimmy Butler. Maybe like three people got that joke, but Jimmy Butler traded to the 76ers today. I think it was Jimmy Butler and Justin Patton went to Philly in exchange for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, Jared Bayless, and a second-round pick. We'll talk about that in a little bit because that's going to be the focus of our podcast this evening. It's going to be about transactions in the NBA. Specifically, we're going to be looking at the top 10 craziest NBA transactions of the last 10 years. And we're going to rank them right here, y'all. We're going to rank them from 10 to 1. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. It's also a special occasion because serendipitously, it just so happened that my main man, Rob Parks, friend of the podcast, has been on before. He's back live in person in studio. Rob,
That's right. The deal? What's the deal, man? In the house, first time in the Bloomington Normal area. See Justin out here.
Yeah. How you like it?
Got a nice home, man.
Thank you. We got a nice studio, nice acoustics down here, you know
nice
what I'm saying?
Nice little studio, got the soundboard popping off.
Oh, absolutely, know, so. Absolutely. You see the lights on the mixer? That's how you know we legit out here.
Right.
Man, well, we appreciate you coming out, and like we said, we had you on the podcast before, so we're happy to get you back, for sure. And it just so happened that this deadline deal went down, so that's going to be part of what we discussed this evening. Now, you just got a new gig for doing some kind of sports content, right?
Oh, well... I'm still doing my writing, but okay. I'm going to jump into the the sports analytics data world. So I'll be doing some data scouting.
Nerd.
I'll still be
nerd.
Yeah, he says I'm a nerd. No. It's all good, but yeah, it's like data scouting. But I'll still be like on press pass. I'll be going to like more games in person. I think they said within 100-mile radius of where I live, which is Washington D.C. But
so where
since I travel for work so much. We'll probably work out something so I can just go everywhere I go.
So where can people find your work now?
It's parksportsandrecreation.com. That's all I'm writing for right now. In the past, I was on Cavs Nation, Real Sport 101, couple other sites. So I was writing for a lot.
Yeah,
of
you was. You was all over the joint. You was all over the internet. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We holding it down here at HipHopSportsReport.com.
Hit that Google search engine, and you can find the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We holding it down at HipHopSportsReport.com. Yeah, y'all know where to find us. Of course, you know we're on iTunes, and you know to find us on Stitcher Radio. You know the podcast is out everywhere. You know we're global. I hear we may be in small time Central America, but we're global though. You know what I'm saying? We're still global. Straight out of Cleveland, Ohio, originally, right? Oh, and of course, follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, facebook.com/HHS Report. Got some ideas for some expansion and some other social media ventures and things like that. So we'll keep you abreast of all those changes as they may come about. But again, I wanted to get into some NBA talk this evening, and the Jimmy Butler news is the big news of the day. And I wanted to rank these transactions over the course of the last 10 years. And so the criteria that I use, Rob, to talk about these trades and free agent signings and all these kinds of things, I kind of wanted to look at, okay, what had the biggest impact on the league, mm-hmm. from a league landscape standpoint?
Right.
What had the biggest impact as far as the news cycle was concerned? You know, how much was it in the media? How much were people talking about it? How crazy of it? What of an event was it? Because a lot of these transactions with a lot of these star players, I mean, they just took Twitter by storm. They took social media by storm to the point that, you know, we could barely even contain ourselves with the excitement that these moves generated.
I'm sure
in the moment.
Some of them had a lot of build up to them.
Exactly.
Probably, problems with players on their prior teams.
Well, some of them got names. You know what I'm saying?
I already know one you're going to say.
Well, he's
a problem.
Anytime one of these situations gets a nickname,
right,
you know what's going down. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we had a few of those on the list. And so again, these are the top 10 most craziest player transactions of the last decade in the NBA, whether it be free agency, trade, whatever, trade demands, I want to get up out of here, I'm leaving, I'm taking my talents to elsewhere, all that stuff. So again, there were some really big names that moved in the last 10 years that didn't make this list because either they didn't have the impact on the league or they just, as an event, it was not a big deal. Like, so the most notable one that comes to mind that was not a big deal was like Deron Williams when he got traded by Utah to Brooklyn. Remember that?
Yeah.
So that was kind of out the blue around 2010, 2011 in that range. And they knew D-Will's contract was coming up, but they didn't want to re-sign him. So Utah jumped the gun like a year in advance and just moved him because they knew that was the biggest package that they was going to get for him at that time.
Right.
So they just moved on real quickly. So that didn't make the list. You know, Kevin Love to the Cavs, Paul George to the Thunder, DeMarcus Cousins moving to New Orleans and then Golden State, Steve Nash, Pau Gasol to the Lakers. Like, those moves didn't make the cut, y'all. Mm-hmm. So interesting stuff, but I want to jump into a couple honorable mentions, or at least, let's see, how many honorable mentions do I really want to get into? Because, I mean, again, there was a lot to choose from. Like, okay, so Carmelo re-signing with the Knicks. Remember when he re-signed with the Knicks? He was already on the Knicks, and then he kind of did that tour, and he went to every team, you know, and he said he wanted to win. He goes to Houston. They put his face up on the billboard in Houston, like on the outside of the arena, and he said he wanted to win and all this stuff, and Chicago was sitting there waiting with their arms open, ready to catch Melo. And he said he was about winning or whatever. And then he took the most money and went back to New York.
Carmelo's about the money, man. Come on, man. So, I mean, Carmelo's career is like, I mean, it's not a failure because he has great stats and all, but he's never won. Carmelo was about the money because Carmelo could have joined a super team too, just like, you know what I'm saying, his peers, LeBron, Bosh, Wade.
Well, he's on one now, Rob.
No, he's not on one.
What is wrong with Houston, dude?
I told you what's wrong with them. Trevor Ariza was a big part of why they won. And Luke Mbamute, I can never pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, but they lost both of those guys.
They lost both of them, so.
I think people slept on Luke Mbamute because he was hurt at the end of the
Luke
year.
Nah, Clippers?
Clippers are Portland. I have to double check it. But
I think he's in LA and Trevor's
no, Amino's
in Phoenix.
No, Amino's in Portland, so I think you're right.
Yeah, he's
I think,
in Clippers.
I think he's with the Clippers. But yeah, it was just one of those things where, you know, people, I think, slept on his contribution because he was hurt at the end of last year. So when he would get in the game against the Warriors, Mbamute, I'm talking about, he was trash against Golden State.
Right.
People, I think, didn't really understand his contribution fully. And Ariza, he may be a little bit over the hill, but, I mean, he was still, like you said, he was guarding the other team's best perimeter player. He was hitting threes out of the corner, and he collapsed on himself in Game 7. Yeah. If you recall,
that pressure got to Trevor.
I mean, it was, what was it?
And then he
was the one of the main.
And took the little 1-year deal with Phoenix, and
he was one of the main culprits of that 0-for-27 3-point stretch in game 7 against Golden State. So they had to, Daryl Morey had to get him up out of there. So anyways, you know, that was one. Another big one, honorable mention, your boy, Mr. Shuttlesworth.
Oh, Ray Allen.
Do you remember when he went to the Heat?
That wasn't a trade, though.
No, it wasn't a trade. So these aren't all trades.
Oh, you're just talking about transactions.
Transactions, period. Yeah. So he left Boston.
Yeah, he was beefing with Rondo and Coach Rivers. And but they still wanted him to stay, like, last minute. But they kind of, like, lowballed him. But then he took less money with Miami. So
exactly. Then they were, like, so he took half as much money to join the Heat.
But,
like, so Boston offered him a deal. He took half of that to go to Miami and play with LeBron, which was their arch nemesis at the time. And he wanted 3 times as much than what Boston was offering him. That's what he wanted from the Celtics. He wanted 3 times as much to go back to Boston.
If y'all really want me to stay.
And he turned down a no trade clause.
Yeah.
Who gets a no trade clause?
Right.
Like 3 guys in the league have a no trade clause.
Right. So he really wanted to get out of Boston. And I think Ray Allen really wanted to just go to Miami and just reside there, just retire there, because he's still there right now. So that was part of
it. He likes to golf, I think.
He likes to golf, and he just likes the warm weather. And his wife likes the warm weather.
And he turned into a Florida man. Yeah, that's what he did.
They opened up the food shop and all that down there.
He's Florida man, as far as I'm concerned. But that was crazy, though, at the time. And they still hold some bitterness in their heart.
They still hold some beef. You know what I'm saying? Ray Allen came out with that book, too. I haven't read the book. Have you read the book?
No, I ain't read the book yet. No. But did you see when they did the KG Area 21 last year?
Yeah. And they had all of them on there.
And they had all of them. They was basically trashing
this guy, like, on TNT. It was kind of wild. I was watching it live, like, yo, like, they're really going in on this guy.
They was going in on
him. I think kind of KG and Pierce have moved on from it, but Rondo hates this guy.
Rondo hates everybody.
Rondo hates Ray Allen. Like, that was those two were the problem, like, with Boston, why Ray Allen.
If your backcourt not flourishing, then you got problems. Yeah, exactly. You got, especially two strong personalities like that. So, again, honorable mention Ray Allen. So let's start at number 10. Number 10 on this list, craziest transactions of the last 10 years. Just talking about impact on the league, impact on Twitter, how bizarre the event it was itself, the caliber of player, the impact on the NBA landscape, all that's been taken into account. Number 10, and this is my list. I made this list on my own, so I'm just getting Rob's reaction to it. But James Harden traded from the Oklahoma City Thunder to the Houston Rockets. That's number 10.
Was that a trade or was that...
That was like a sign and trade, I think.
Or was it like he was restricted and then they signed and traded?
I think it was a sign.
He was restricted. You know what? You know that only came. It was $5 million, which was the difference between that.
How insane is that?
That's crazy. Like, think about that. Like, think about if those three were to stay together.
So they had 3 MVPs on that team.
Basically.
These guys
just came off a finals appearance and, like, got spanked by Miami, but, you know what I'm saying, they made it to the finals.
And those games were competitive, too.
Yeah, they were all competitive.
Check this out. They have two MVPs in their starting lineup, and they had an MVP coming off the bench.
Off the bench. It's crazy. Like, I mean, hindsight 2020, nobody really knew that Westbrook and Harden would turn into an MVP.
So, like, I think people knew Westbrook was special.
They knew he was special.
I don't think people knew James Harden was that special.
I don't think people knew. I knew he had game.
We knew he had game. There was the Dallas series where he was taking over for Oklahoma City against Dallas in that series. And then Harden was terrible in the finals against Miami.
Terrible. Horrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
He's the reason why they lost. Like, because, I mean, KD and Westbrook played.
KD put up 30 a game in that
finals. KD was balling.
Yeah.
And Westbrook was
better than him.
Yeah, he was balling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was just them two on five. Like, so.
But, I mean, like, KD had some moments where he was shrinking, and Westbrook had that one game where he had, like, 45 points or 42 points, something like that.
Yeah.
And KD was kind of nowhere to be seen. And that's kind of, I think, how the reputation started of Durant versus Westbrook. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Westbrook's the alpha. Kevin Durant's a beta.
Yeah, I mean, KD said that he's not a leader, man. It shows you.
And then you had Harden coming off the bench, and he was so bad in that series that I think Sam Presti felt like he was expendable. But
$5 million, man.
Pay
up.
James Harden wanted a max extension,
right?
And Oklahoma City basically said no because everybody else had taken less. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they all had deals coming up, but, like, to that point,
KD had took less.
I don't know if Russ had a deal at that point. Maybe he was up the year before or something like that, but he had taken less. I think Ibaka might have been in the same draft as Westbrook, I think. and he had taken less. So all these guys had taken less money to keep the Oklahoma City core together. And Harden's like, no, I want my bread. Right. I want them ducats.
And I
want
to be the star.
I want them ducats and I want them buckets. You know what I'm saying?
I want my own team.
Right. Somehow. And so, but the problem is, so Oklahoma City didn't want to give him the max extension. But the problem is that the Thunder could have rode it out that year. This was in 2011, I believe, or coming off the finals. So the finals is 2012. So this is actually, as a matter of fact, this was just days before the season started. This was like, he got traded in October of 2012 at the start of the 2012-2013 season. You're right, you're so you never see a player of this caliber get traded like right 5 days.
Right before training camp.
No. Right before the season. This was like late October.
He started training camp with them?
Yeah. This was like right before the season started. And they dealt him. And what's crazy is they could have just rode it out with him. They could have, you know, amnestied Kendrick Perkins or something like that. They could have figured out something.
Yeah.
But and then they would have rolled Harden into restricted free agency the following year.
Right.
Instead of trading him a day before the season started. Right. But instead they ended up trading him and they got a package that was centered around Kevin Martin, who like low key was averaging like 25, 28 points a game. And then and Jeremy Lamb.
But he didn't really do much with the Thunder.
No, he didn't.
Really, he didn't pan out like it. Kevin Martin was a assassin.
This was a heist. This was a heist by Daryl Morey. But the one thing I will say is that in defense of Oklahoma City and Bill Simmons, you know, I've been following Bill Simmons for a long time. He's one of the main people that have always trashed the Thunder for making this move because they could have held on to Harden for one more year and then he would have went into restricted free agency the following year, but they hastily made this move and he's always
going to match whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and he's always killed the Thunder for this move. But the one thing I will defend the Thunder on is that, and you said it earlier, nobody knew at that time that James Harden was this good. They did not know he was this good.
I still think James Harden probably behind closed doors said that he wanted his own team.
He might have. I mean,
I think that's why they probably had to trade him because it just never made any sense to me. But
I mean, we'll see. I mean,
he won't ever win anything in Houston anyway. So, yeah. I mean, he'll just keep putting up 30 a game and
losing,
be an MVP candidate, and then getting bounced. Well, last year was his best chance, and unfortunately, Chris Paul got hurt.
So. Right. I always defend CP3 as far as being there's a large segment of the population that feels like Chris Paul is a guy that can't get it done in the playoffs. And I think there's a difference between just because you haven't gotten it done doesn't mean you can't get it done. Chris Paul's got the guts to get it done.
I don't think he can't get it done. It's just he gets a raw deal. But
James Harden, though. I question him.
James Harden.
I question him.
I told you I was at game 6 against San Antonio, not this past season, but 2016-2017 season.
Oh, he quit that game?
Game 6 in Houston, down 3-2 to the Spurs. No Kawhi Leonard. James Harden west of bed. Second quarter, James Harden is out of the game from minute 12 to about 5 minutes left in the second quarter. I don't know if him and D'Antoni were beefing or what, but like he's down on the bench in an elimination game for what?
Why
you're not in foul trouble? He wasn't in foul trouble.
Even the game, the series when the Clippers blew the 3-1 series to the Rockets that year. So in 2015, the Clippers knocked out the Spurs. The Spurs had won the title the year before. The Clippers knocked out the Spurs in round one. Round two, they go up 3-1 on Houston. And then in game five,
Houston came back and won.
Inexplicably, Houston came back and won that series. But it was game five was the one that they had them down 19 points in the third quarter. The Clippers were up 3-1 in the series and up 19 points in the third quarter at home, lost the game and lost the series. But when that happened, James Harden was on the bench because he was checked out mentally. Like, again, he was on the bench. It just so happened that Josh Smith caught fire.
Yeah, he was going off.
And somebody else for Houston caught fire. Corey Brewer.
Yeah, right.
Those guys can't even shoot, but they caught fire hitting threes. And then that's how that happened. So James Harden wasn't even a part of that. Let's go to number 9. Just mentioned the Clippers. So a few years ago, DeAndre Jordan was a free agent. You remember what happened with that?
Yep. They show up at this guy's house. They thought he was going to Dallas. Everybody thought he was going to Dallas. Like, they reported on the TV and everything. Doc and them show up at his house and, like, basically
they kidnapped him.
Kidnapped him. Yeah, we're not leaving until you sign back with the Clippers.
So basically,
I don't blame them because they had that. I mean, their window was there. They had a good enough team to make the finals, man, for a few years.
Doc, I think CP was there. Chris Paul, Blake may have been there too.
Blake was there.
Doc Rivers was there. They all showed up at DeAndre Jordan's house after it was reported that DeAndre was going to Dallas. But like you said, they knew they had to keep that nucleus together. Mm-hmm. They all show up at DeAndre Jordan's house, barricade themselves inside, and they locked the door, and they did Sonny from A Bronx Tale, and he said, now yous can't leave. yous can't leave. And DeAndre is like, damn.
I just watched that movie the other day.
That's one of my like three favorite movies ever. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what am I supposed to do now, DeAndre? DeAndre, he's got his friends in the room. You know, at least at the time, I think they may have been friends. I don't know about if he's friends with any of those guys now. Right. But at the time, you know, they knew they had something special. They had to retain his services. Even if they ended up signing him and trading him later, like the Clippers ended up doing with Blake Griffin. You can't let an asset walk out the door for free.
No.
They literally did not present DeAndre with the option of walking out the door. They came to his house and stayed there and said, we're not leaving until you sign this contract.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's kind of gangster when you think about it.
The Clippers blew it, man. They had at least four chances.
They did. They had a really good run where, I mean, it was the best run in franchise history.
Yeah, they were good, man.
I mean, Chris Paul, you know, a lot of people talk about his playoff failures, but again, he's the best player in Clippers franchise history. He's the best player in the history of two franchises by my standards.
Yeah,
and that's New Orleans and
every franchise
the Clippers.
He's been on.
Right. And so If you maybe Anthony Davis will surpass him as the greatest Hornet ever at some point, but
right
now I say it's Chris Paul with them, with the Hornets and with the Clippers. But anyway, no disrespect to Bob McAdoo and the Buffalo Braves, though. Yeah, we do our homework here at Hip Hop Sports Report. So yeah, that was a crazy one. But DeAndre ended up re-signing with the Clippers, and they had some good years. DeAndre still continued to improve his game, and he turned into a fine player. And ironically, Mark Cuban was the one who lost out. And ironically, this past offseason, DeAndre leaves the Clippers, and where does he go?
Dallas.
Mark Cuban and the Dallas Mavericks. But so he ended up there. He got what he wanted.
Is he from Dallas or Houston?
He's from Texas. I don't know exactly where.
Don't quote me. He might be from Dallas. So
yeah,
it was always his plan to try to get back.
Yeah.
He almost went back then.
I mean, Dirk might have had a couple of years left back then.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's washed now. But back then, Dirk and DeAndre playing alongside each other might have been pretty good.
Was that 2014?
I'll double check it right quick. He re-signed with the Clippers. 4 years, $88 million. That was July of 2015. So he had verbally agreed to sign a four-year, $80 million deal with Dallas. And he began having second thoughts days later. And on January 8th, this is according to Wikipedia, a number of Clippers personnel flew to Houston.
For a meeting. So was his fourth year an opt-out?
It doesn't say, but they flew to Houston to meet him and convince him to come back and to back out of the Dallas deal. And he did that. And amazingly, Dallas still pursued him 4 years later.
Yeah.
So interesting. And now Dallas is still in the lottery. That's what they have to show
for. They're improving.
How about Luka though?
Luka and Dennis Smith Jr.
Dude, Luka's real deal. Holyfield. Yeah, they only have three wins on the season. Does Dallas and
yeah,
so
they're improved.
So don't let Dallas mess around and get like Zion or somebody to go with Luka and Dennis Smith.
They'll be set
for the next decade.
Yeah, that'll be good.
But yeah, Luka's the real deal though. But anyway, number eight today's news: Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. So Jimmy Butler had already gotten traded from the Bulls to the Timberwolves two off seasons ago. He spends a year in Minessota, doesn't go well. He comes into this season and he does a bunch of stuff that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, do you understand?
Like, Jimmy Butler is a little bit off though.
I just think that
I don't think they have beef. I just think it's more like a bully situation between him and Kat and Wiggins. Because he was like, over the summer, I follow him on Instagram, and he was working out, and he was like, keep that same energy. I'm like, who the hell is he talking about? And they're like, oh, he's talking about Kat and Wiggins. I'm like, for what? Like, why? Like, what's going on with them?
Here's my thing, man. And this is the part that bothered me the most about this entire thing, was that, so, coming into the season, right before the season started, Jimmy Butler has this practice where, because he was like, you know, demanding a trade already.
Right.
He said he wanted to be a winner, but he said he wanted to go to the Nets, the Knicks, or the Clippers were his three teams. But he said he wanted to be a winner. But those are the three teams he picked. All right. So then
he just wanted to go to a big city
and get paid, right? Right. So then he goes. So then he has this crazy practice, right? And he supposedly he shows up, he's out of shape, and yet he still goes in and shows up and with and teams up with the third stringers and beats Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins' team, the first string team.
Yeah.
And he beats them and he's calling them out, you know, man, y'all niggas soft and y'all did, you know, the whole time. Like, yeah, just
y'all need me. And
yeah, like, right.
Pointing at everybody. Then,
right.
And then Rachel Nichols sits down with him the same day.
Like, the same day. Like, she just showed up there the same day. There, like, and it's like, so how did you just know to be there, Rachel Nichols? So evidently that was planned.
Right.
Right. So here's my thing that I never understood about this scenario. Is that Jimmy Butler, in that interview, tried to paint himself as a team leader, that he cares about winning, he cares about the future of Towns and Wiggins and their development and all that stuff, and he cares about Minnesota as a franchise and all this stuff. Jimmy Butler, if you're listening, I know you're on a plane to Philly right now, but you will hear this podcast, I'm certain of that. And the one thing I would mention to you is this.
Do not pull that in Philly.
You cannot be a team leader and demand a trade at the same time.
Right. No.
You can't do it. I don't understand. I've never heard of it before or since.
You don't see LeBron demanding a trade. LeBron, you know what I'm saying? He plays out his contract.
You can't
do it the right way. You have to do things the right way. You have to be professional, man.
I mean, how can you demand a trade and then call yourself a team leader in the same breath? I don't understand that. Like, you don't care about Wiggins and Towns or Minnesota if you're up in management's face demanding a trade.
You demand a trade, but then you say, oh, y'all effing need me. Like, what are you talking about?
You coming and going. Right. Like, you talking out both sides of your mouth.
You
want
to
stay
or do you want to go? Like, what are you talking
about?
Right. So it's kind of weird. Like,
right. So, I mean, none of that made sense. You can't do both. And he's been trashing his teammates, you know, behind closed doors, but in such a way that I think he intended it for it to get out. All this stuff was done in an effort to get traded. And today, his wish was granted on November 10th. So more power to him. What do you think of Philly's prospects now with Jimmy and Simmons and Embiid and Redick?
I have to see how they play together. But I'm not going to lie, man. Jimmy, he's actually improved. His game's actually improved since he got to Minnesota from Chicago. Like, and he was really good with Chicago. I actually got to catch him in Chicago a couple times when I was up there for work and watch him in person. And he just gets buckets. I mean, they call him Jimmy Buckets for a reason. He plays good D. He gets buckets. But he's still missing something. Like, he's still missing that it factor, like, to be a superstar.
Well, he's 30 years old, for one.
He's 30 now. He's missing that it factor.
And
he can't pull the same stuff with Philly because...
Well, Philly's not the most stable franchise either.
But they got Embiid and Simmons now, you know? These guys are...
Injured?
these guys are supposed to be the cornerstone of that franchise, and they're good, man. They're legit. I mean, Simmons is young, and he has no jump shot, but Embiid is legit, man.
Who's the best player on the 76ers today?
Joel Embiid,
in case you guys are wondering.
He's been balling.
Joel Embiid, balling is one way to put it. He's averaging 28.8 points per game.
He's second
in the league in scoring. To go along with the 29 points, basically, is 12.8 boards and 2.5 blocks.
Yeah, like 29 and 13.
He's basically putting up MVP numbers right now.
For sure.
And so, and Philly is currently sitting at the 3 seed.
So, Jimmy,
in the East.
You can't go in there and trying to bully Embiid. Like, Embiid is not.
Embiid has the personality.
And no disrespect to Karl Anthony Towns. He's talented, but Karl Anthony Towns is soft.
So, you believe
Karl Anthony Towns is like a beta male, and he's going to let you, like, push him around and, like, there's no way that Karl Anthony Towns should be letting him push him around. Jimmy was the clear leader of that team, and he shouldn't have been.
Well,
Karl Anthony Towns should have been number one on that team.
So I think people get a little carried away with that. And not that you're saying, I'm not saying that what you're saying is wrong, but in the sense that Karl Anthony Towns, what is he, 21 years old? Like, he played 1 year of college, and he's in his third or fourth season. So he can't be like, more than 22 years old.
Fourth season.
Jimmy Butler played 3 years of college, I think. And then he went to the NBA. He's been in the NBA for like 8 years.
Right.
And so Jimmy Butler was 29 years old last year. Karl Anthony Towns is a baby by comparison. So you can't expect a baby to just sit up here and just demand that kind of respect. And like, that's hard to do.
They paid him like he should demand that respect.
Fair point.
So, I mean, if they pay you like that, then you got to go. I don't care how old you are. LeBron, what was LeBron doing when he was 21?
He was round. Losing to the Pistons in the second
what
round.
What was LeBron doing? He was 22.
He was in the finals.
Is Karl Anthony Towns 22 or 21?
I'm looking it up right now.
LeBron James is 22 in the finals.
Karl Towns, Towns is still on his rookie deal. Towns is 22 years old.
His new deal hasn't even kicked in yet. He got an extension. So
yeah, so his deal hasn't kicked in yet.
He's there for years. Like, he's there at least till he's like 28.
Karl Anthony Towns turns 23 years old in 5 days.
Right.
So my point is just that he was 21, 22 last year in his third season last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he only had 2 NBA seasons under his belt, 1 season of college. And you got this seasoned veteran like Jimmy Butler, who's an all-star. And you know, Jimmy's going to tell him what's what. Like, it's hard for me to sit here and just say, Towns should have been a leader.
About Jimmy going to Philly is it's probably better for him because it's better for him to go to the East.
Oh, yeah.
Because to be honest, the East is wide open. So the
Celtics ain't doing it right now.
I think Toronto's the best team in the East, but Toronto, I still think they could be beat. You know, who's to say?
Boston should be the best team, but I feel like they got too many good players, and Gordon Hayward is...
He doesn't fit. Gordon doesn't fit.
He need to get up out of there, it seemed like. Like, they Philly was better with Brown and Tatum.
If Philly
Tatum.
Meshes well, who's to say they can't go to the finals, you know?
I guess so. Well, I think... I was never a big Philly fan. I wrote it on the website last year. I tweeted about it. I've said it many times that Philly was overrated last year.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Ben Simmons is overrated. Not that he's not very good, but... He needs to be able to shoot a little bit. Like, you can't, right. Y'all can't tell me that this whole league is all about shooting threes and running and gunning and pacing space. And then we got this player who's allegedly top 15 in the NBA right now, even though he's only played 1 year.
He
hasn't made a three in his career, Rob.
You're playing 1 and 2 now. So, I mean, every 1 and 2 I know that's good can shoot.
Exactly. So,
it's really no excuse.
Right. So as soon as that's gonna have to happen, and Philly didn't take off last year until they got Bellinelli and Ilyasova as buyouts
shooters,
and the shooters. And once the shooters came in, that's when they took off. Simmons and Embiid was balling, but it really wasn't about them. It was about those shooters that came in and spaced the floor out. And once they came into the fold, then you saw Philly go on that winning streak in the spring. So, you know,
Philly would be real interesting. You got to watch out for them. I like Fultz. You know, as long as his jump shot holds up, he had a like weird situation.
But it won't. If I'm Philly, I'm trying to move Fultz personally. But so number 7 on our list, Kawhi Leonard, he just got moved.
Yeah, that was a crazy situation.
So right, how crazy of a situation was this? That's
crazier than Jimmy Butler because this trickled down basically from 2 years ago. So he gets hurt. In the playoffs in 2017,
right,
goes down, doesn't come back for the whole Warriors series,
and they should have won Game 1 against Golden State.
They get swept. I actually went to that series. I was down in San Antonio. They get swept. They get spanked. The next year, he tries to come back for like 8 games, and then he's just out
randomly
out, and then they're like he's healthy,
but he wasn't healthy.
The doctor says he's not healthy,
right?
But the Spurs doctor said he's healthy. So it's just like. He says he can't trust the Spurs. I want to get traded.
So it's carried on for like a year. So that went on for like a year. So this is why I have this one clocking in at number 7. It could have been higher, arguably. So first of all, you got Kawhi Leonard, who, as quiet as he is, this guy is a former Finals MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Kawhi Leonard has finished top 3 in MVP voting at least once.
I'm pretty sure.
He's a former Defensive Player of the Year also.
Yeah, he finished top 3 in 2016, 2017.
I think that's right. Yeah. So all things considered, we're talking about a player who is, if he's healthy, one of the 5 best players in basketball.
For sure. They compared this guy's skill set to LeBron.
And here's the other crazy part. This is the San Antonio Spurs we're talking about.
Yeah,
you don't demand a trade from the San Antonio Spurs. You don't act out against the San Antonio Spurs.
It's weird, right?
These are things that the Spurs don't let happen. You don't let rumors seep out of the San Antonio locker room. Right. You don't have Greg Popovich allegedly ordering Parker and Ginobili to publicly admonish Kawhi Leonard in the media because he doesn't want to come back to play.
You know what's crazy? Worst things have happened in the Spurs organization, like players sleeping with each other's wives. And that never messed up the Spurs chemistry.
No. I mean, yeah, and it is worse. We know about Tony Parker and Brent Berry's wife. Yeah, we know about that.
But that never messed up. That was never like this Kawhi Leonard situation. Like they kind of kept stuff in house and like.
Right. Right. But so this Kawhi situation, and allegedly, like it was his uncle. Kawhi's uncle was running the show.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. So all that was bizarre. That was just, it was just bizarre. Now, I will say, first of all, I got to pat myself on the back. Y'all hear that? That's me patting myself on the back because your boy Jay Hicks said on the podcast in the spring with our boy Jabari Davis, shout out to him and his podcast with Josh Ellerby. I believe it's called, I'm going to get it, the Hoops Mag Podcast, Hot Takes and Shot Fakes Podcast. Shout out to Jabari and Josh on that podcast. I wanted to make sure I shouted them out because Jabari is such a good guest. We have him on periodically. But I was on the podcast with Jabari when I said, you know who should make a play for the Kawhi Leonard, if he's available, is the Toronto Raptors, even if it means giving up DeMar DeRozan. I said that on the podcast, and boom, it happened just like that. You know what I'm saying? The other part of this transaction that's crazy is the fact that DeMar DeRozan, another all-star, left and went to San Antonio. And then you still have poor, sad Kyle Lowry dapping himself up before the game. Yeah,
DeMar's playing pretty well with San Antonio.
Yeah, he's playing great with San Antonio. He's also amongst the leaders in scoring in the league, good, I believe.
Yeah, he's good. But I still think Kawhi's master plan is to get to California somehow. And that's his uncle's plan. They
so
get there. I'm not just California, LA.
But which
either,
team, though?
Either team, it doesn't really matter. Now, I don't think they care.
There's a lot of smoke saying that he don't want to play with LeBron James.
Yeah, but I don't think he said that. I want to hear him say that out of his own mouth.
He doesn't say anything out of his own mouth, except for that weird laugh. He laughed like a supervillain.
Because from what I heard, like...
That has no feelings.
What I heard, him and LeBron are, like, kind of cool, and they had, like, phone conversations in the offseason, so who knows who's telling the truth.
I mean, kind of cool, and I want to be teammates with you and ride with you while you get all the glory, and I'm play second banana. It's two different things.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, it's
everybody
weird.
Everybody can't handle that. Kyrie couldn't handle that.
We're going to get to him later, but, yeah, so, I mean... Again, the Kawhi Leonard situation was bizarre. It lasted a year. You know, I remember the Twitter impact of the DeAndre Jordan situation. Mm-hmm. When that went down, was crazy. Like, everybody was tweeting about it, like, live tweeting in the moment. Like,
right.
They're at his house, you know what I'm saying? This was, like, a slow burn over the course of an entire season plus where everybody's right. Like, what are the Spurs and Kawhi Leonard doing?
Kawhi is just going to New York and just living in New York and rehabbing, like, why?
Right, not traveling with the team.
You're still under contract with the team, bro.
You know what I mean? Like, that was just... But you don't see the Spurs getting involved in stuff like this. This seems beneath them as a franchise. So the fact that all this went down the way that it did, very strange, very bizarre. It's going to work for both teams. As you spoke about Toronto, Toronto, I believe, has the best record in the Eastern Conference right now. I would pick them as... One of the two favorites.
They lost one game, right?
They're 12-1 currently. They have the best record in the NBA. I would say, and Kawhi sat out like four games. I would say that the Raptors and the Celtics are the two favorites in the East, probably even with Jimmy Butler. Milwaukee, you know, I like Milwaukee. I mean, I don't love them.
Giannis has stepped up as a...
He got to go to another level.
He has to go to another level for them.
I feel about him the way I felt about Anthony Davis last year. So last year in the playoffs, the Pelicans were a 6 seed, and they went to Portland and played a 3 seed Trailblazers. And I wrote on Hip Hop Sports Report that this is the type of series that if Anthony Davis is who we all think he is, he should be able to overpower Portland
and just
be the best player. And that's what he did. He swept them.
Right.
Right. As a 6 seed, he went and beat up on a 3 seed because he was that damn good. Giannis needs to go to that level this year. He needs to, I don't know, care who they matched up with
Giannis
in the first round.
Giannis should have did that against Boston last year, especially with
Kyrie
out and Gordon Hayward
exactly.
out.
Exactly, like, and he didn't do it. He couldn't get to that level. So this year needs to be the year. I mean, he's an MVP front runner. If Giannis is going to get them to the next level, it's got to start this year.
Yep.
One other thing I wanted to point out is I was looking back at some of the stats. So we were talking about the Jimmy Butler trade. So remember, Jimmy Butler got traded initially from Chicago to Minnesota.
Right.
And in that deal, Chris Dunn went back to Chicago along with a draft pick
and
Zach LaVine.
Right.
The draft pick turned out to be Lauri Markkanen. He's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And he's better than what most people thought.
But he's hurt.
He's hurt right now, but he's good. He's got game.
They got the Bulls are interesting.
Do you know Zach LaVine is fourth in the league in scoring?
He's hooping. he's doing crazy shit in the game. Like, behind his back spin, dunking. I'm like, who do you think you are, LeBron? Like,
yeah, basically.
Crazy,
he's like Vince Carter. Like,
dude's going nuts.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine's really improved, man. I mean,
he's right in line for most improved player. Now, a lot of that has to do with the role that he's in now, because ain't nobody else taking shots on Chicago, right? But I mean, Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen went out. Jimmy Butler came back, and then they got Dario Saric and Robert Covington back. for this trade. Right. So if you're Minnesota, you're kind of like, what the hell just happened here? We had our hands on potentially Lauri Markkanen. We had our hands on Zach LaVine.
And what are we doing right now?
And now all we have to show for Jimmy Butler is Saric and Covington and no pick. We didn't get a first round pick in this crazy. Anyway,
right.
We'll pick up the pace a little bit. Number six, LeBron James returning home to Cleveland.
Yeah.
Big day for me and you, right?
Right.
Clevelanders. LeBron James had won two titles with Miami, had gone to four straight finals with Miami, left Pat Riley, and went back to Cleveland to return home.
Had that unfinished business, man.
Wrote the letter.
Must have been eating at him, man. Must have been eating
I think at it him. Was, man. And I'm glad you said that because...
I think it was eating on... Like, he just... I mean, LeBron's human, man. Just like everybody
Well, else. Not only that, but I mean... There's something special about Northeast Ohio if LeBron James, who supposedly never got any help, allegedly, quote-unquote, when he played with the Cavs the first go-around, the first 7 years, mm-hmm. didn't get along with management. Dan Gilbert wrote that letter.
That letter written about him.
And he still went back there.
Yeah.
That tells you something about Northeast Ohio. He had a connection there, and that's home.
It's special,
and Cleveland gets a hand in that. I know people say it's all Akron, but, if he didn't like Cleveland, he wouldn't have went back.
There's no sports fans like it in the country, man. I mean, it is what it is.
It's different, man. And so,
I wouldn't even rule out him going back again in 3 years.
I don't think I would completely rule it out either.
I don't rule it out. I mean, he signed a 4-year deal with the Lakers, but it's an opt-out after 3. I won't rule it out after 3 years.
I wouldn't rule
don't
it out.
Don't be surprised
completely.
If he goes back to Cleveland.
I wouldn't rule it out either completely. But here's the thing about it, though. So I remember when that was going down, and again, patting myself on the back, right there. We had it on the podcast that we thought LeBron was going to go back to Cleveland that offseason. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought that it was a slam dunk that he was going to stay in Miami for all the reasons he went down to Miami in the first place.
Right. I mean, they were winning.
They were winning. The weather, the women, although he was married man, but whatever. we're not going to speak on that too much. But you know what I'm saying? So there's all that's down there, and Cleveland is cold, and he had the history there, and it ended ugly. And remember that December 2nd game that you went to? Remember how the fans were at him, you know, that first game back in Cleveland when he was with the Heat for the first time? He dropped like 38 on the Cavs.
LeBron knows legacy is important, especially when you're considered possibly the GOAT.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a GOAT conversation. You're a top three GOAT conversation, man. Like, you, probably Kareem and Jordan.
So here's the thing.
Top three.
Those are my top three. So here's the thing, though. He had to go back. He had the unfinished business. Kareem left and went to L.A., but he won a title in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He went to Washington. But basically, Michael never left Chicago, save for retirement. But
Kareem and Kareem and Michael, not from Chicago or Milwaukee. LeBron is from Cleveland, basically. Akron.
Basically. I mean, our high school team played LeBron in high school. You know what I'm saying? So it's like...
It's a unique situation, man.
Yeah.
That's why I said I don't rule him coming back in 3 years.
Yeah. And so, but here's the thing, and this is what gets on my nerves more than anything else. As somebody who's followed the Cavs closely my entire life, I cannot defend every move that the Cavaliers have made. And I personally have ripped the Cavs for letting David Griffin walk. Because I think that was the biggest mistake.
We wet the bed this time. I know LeBron probably had in his mind, you know, he had his houses out there in L.A. Like, hey, L.A. would be nice, you know. But, okay, they let Griffin walk. They trade Kyrie. When they didn't have to trade Kyrie, they can still have Kyrie right now.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my point. Everybody wants to rip on Cavaliers management constantly. And I hate it. I cannot stand it. Every time, and even you know, Ty Lue gets fired, everybody rips the Cavs. They have a little thing with Larry Drew, a little tiff with him. The Jim Boylan, the former assistant coach, is suing the team now. Right. There's a lot of instability.
Age discrimination.
Yeah, there's a lot of instability in the franchise.
The Cavs have always had this,
But a lot of that is on Dan Gilbert. But here's my thing. They don't get enough credit. Anytime you ever hear anybody on a national stage talk about Cavaliers management, it needs to be done within the context of the following. The team had not won a title ever. The city had not won a title in 52 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And they have this player who's the greatest player of his generation, and they need to maximize everything they can around him at all times.
Right.
But they went to the finals four straight years. They won a title. and they hadn't won a title in 50 years. So every move that you want to criticize Dan Gilbert for, you want to criticize the front office for, whether it was Kobe Altman, whether it was Chris Grant, David Griffin, no matter who it was, it needs to be understood within the parameters of they went to four straight finals. They went to four straight finals.
Right.
They won a title.
We're talking about the Cavs here.
Like, they won a title.
We've been following the Cavs our whole life. Yes. This is the most successful stretch the Cavs have ever had.
And
in franchise.
I mean, they did that and they went and like I said, they had not won in 52 years. I saw Bomani Jones on Twitter go at a fan today who had on Cavaliers gear. And Bomani said he was dressed like a loser.
He's a clown.
So I like Bomani, but I mean, like, that's factually incorrect, Bomani. Like, they're the most successful franchise in basketball the last 5 years, other than the Golden State Warriors. Right. There's only one team that's been more successful than the Cavs the last 4 years, and that's the Warriors. So stop it. You can make fun of some of these transactions. I get it, but like, no, like the Cavaliers have made every move that they've made within that time frame to try to maximize their chances to win a title.
You can't criticize management. Dan Gilbert went way over the luxury tax
every year
to get LeBron what he wanted. Paid Tristan when he didn't have to.
Paid JR. Paid all these guys.
Two underachieving players.
Right. They mortgaged the future.
He could have been like, oh, I don't want to pay these guys. Yeah. I want to get some real players.
Yeah. And meanwhile, he had to manage the ego of LeBron James. And so here's my next point.
He did that to appease LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. Same reason why you see Tyson Chandler old ass out in LA now. Exactly. Because LeBron wants old ball players. And then when he goes to the Lakers, national pundits want to get on the air and say, well, LeBron wanted young talent and Cleveland never brought in any young talent. No, Cleveland did what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to bring in old veteran ball players who knew how to win and get it done when it mattered. And that's right. What they did.
And it worked.
And so, and when you think about how Dan Gilbert had to humble himself, get on that plane and fly down to Miami and beg for forgiveness and apologize to LeBron James, he doesn't get enough credit for that.
Right.
Because everybody wants to say Pat Riley is some kind of mastermind for getting LeBron to leave Cleveland and come to Miami, but nobody calls Dan Gilbert a mastermind for convincing LeBron to come back.
Pat Riley's not a mastermind at all to get LeBron.
Rob, which is a harder sell?
Dan Gilbert.
Which is a harder sell?
Come back to Cleveland after trying to roll the skating leather dog in the sky.
Right, and after 7 years where you were unsuccessful in terms of winning a title, you didn't, for a variety of reasons, weren't able to put the right pieces around him to get the job done. Right. He leaves. The fans are trashing him. The media's trashing him. The Whore of Akron is a book that's written about LeBron. You know what I mean? And right. Dan Gilbert wrote this scathing letter that you pointed out. And it's still Cleveland. It's still cold. You know what I mean? All this stuff happened. And yet Pat Riley comes down. He has the cachet. He's got the rings from the past. He's got his best friend, Dwayne Wade. He's got Chris Bosh in the fold.
Right.
He's got the weather in Miami. He's got no state taxes. He's got all these advantages. And Pat Riley gets LeBron to come down to Miami. And everybody says Pat Riley's a freaking mastermind. But nobody gives the Cavs any credit for convincing LeBron to come back. That blows my mind. But that's a whole other thing. So I just had to get that off my chest. Number five. And keeping with the Cavaliers, Kyrie Irving. The Cavaliers had just gone to three straight finals. They had just won a title in 2016. Although they got beaten five games in 2017, it was a competitive series.
Yeah.
It was a competitive series.
I always say, if we didn't blow game three, win game four, the series is tied, and anything.
So this is a take that Ryan Russillo from ESPN and The Ringer, he has this take live, is that just, you know, you can't, you know, it's like the butterfly effect. Like, just because the Cavs won game four doesn't mean that you get to go back and say, well, if they won game three, they still would have won game four, because you probably get a different Warriors team in game four.
Yeah, true.
So if they win game three, maybe they win game four, but we don't know.
Right.
But that was a competitive series nonetheless, even though it was only a five-game series. And you remember when LeBron put his arm around Kyrie in Oakland when they walked off the court in the finals?
Right, said we'll be back.
We'll be back here.
Right.
And then, like, a month later, Kyrie says, I want out.
Right.
That's devastating if you're a Cavs fan.
It's terrible.
You know what I'm saying?
I just feel like we were cheated. You know, even though we went to four straight finals, we were cheated.
Well,
because 2015, Kyrie and Love were both hurt.
Yeah.
And we were still up 2-1.
Yeah.
We were still up 2-1 with LeBron just really in control of that series, it seemed.
Yeah.
Game four goes to OT when it had no business going to OT. The Cavs were winning that game, the whole game.
Yeah. I mean,
it
I
goes
think
to OT, Golden State steals game four, ties the series up,
yeah,
and then wins the next two, and it's over.
I mean, well, they put Iguodala in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and then changed it.
And then everything. A Shump was hurt.
Yeah.
Deli was in the hospital.
Right.
I mean, the right. Cavs were on right. fumes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was the Cavs were far more competitive than what they should have been in that situation.
Right.
Steph Curry was not playing well,
but still could have stole that series.
You know what I'm saying? I think
if they go up 3-1 in that series, it's a wrap.
I think if Kyrie was healthy, I don't even know if they needed Kevin Love in 2015.
No, they didn't.
I think if Kevin Love had stayed hurt, but Kyrie was healthy,
yeah,
I think they win that series. Yeah, win. Remember how good Kyrie was in Game One
Ballin.
When he got hurt in
He's
that game?
Steph Curry.
Yes, he absolutely outplayed
Steph
Curry.
2016, he outplayed Steph Curry.
Absolutely outplayed Steph Curry in 2016. So,
right,
I mean, but I think I still put it, the Kyrie leaving, I think Griff's departure has something to do with it. I think the fact that it got out, this is all allegedly, reportedly, that, you know, he got out, the word got out that Kyrie was in some offers, right, for Paul George or whomever, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, okay, well, what if we hypothetically include Kyrie on this deal, whatever? Somehow that got back to Kyrie, and I think that was the straw that broke his back. I don't think that was the only reason why he left. I personally believe that, you know, and this is somewhat with some inside connections that we have with the Cavs and things like that, because I think there was a little bit of jealousy with the treatment that LeBron got, and Kyrie wasn't getting that same level of treatment.
His dad referred to LeBron as the enemy, you know?
I mean, so, I just think
kind of crazy. Like,
I think so, and that's why
don't fraternize with the enemy. This is in 2015,
and so I put it on. And there was people that were saying that Kyrie wanted out after they won the title in 2016,
and that's true.
So
that's completely 100% true.
And when I had you on the podcast last year, we talked about, you know, who was to blame for that, and I told you I still put the brunt of the blame for Kyrie's departure on LeBron. Mm-hmm. I just feel like as the leader, this is your team,
right?
And this is the best teammate he's ever had in Cleveland.
You got to just really take this guy under your wing and just do
exactly
whatever.
You
got to befriend this guy. You got to be this guy's best friend.
Right.
You got to do stuff off the court together. You got to go out to eat together.
You got to keep him happy.
You got to really build a brotherhood with this guy.
You got to keep him happy.
I just don't think LeBron really did all he could as far as
the court and stuff like
not
that.
Not saying it's all LeBron, because Kyrie's not a kid. So
well,
like,
so I
Kyrie
mean,
too,
like,
so.
If, so my cousin Vince Hicks, friend of the podcast, he's been on many times. If he was on in September, if he was on right here, right now, he would be telling you that, nah, man, it was all on Kyrie. Kyrie's a grown man. He made a decision. He asked out before his contract was up, whatever, whatever. I still think that the Cavaliers get, once again, their management gets a raw deal for the return that they got for Kyrie. I think that people legitimately thought that Isaiah Thomas's hip would be back to normal in January.
Right.
Now, there's all this stuff after the fact that has come out and said, well, no, the doctors knew that his hip was for real messed up, and the Cavs made the deal anyway, and they could have pulled the plug on it. But I think that in hindsight, yes. But I think the thinking was at the time was that Isaiah Thomas was a top five MVP candidate. He was averaging 29 a game in Boston.
Basically
30 a game in Boston. Had a career year, you know what I'm saying? He was all NBA.
Played well against the Cavs.
He was everything up until he got hurt. Right. He was everything that you would want in a point guard, just about, in terms of just heart, and, you know, he had the situation with his sister, all that
hooping stuff.
He was playing with that
hooping, straight hooping.
50 point games in the playoffs.
Right.
Isaiah Thomas was an amazing player that season, and so
it was people saying, "Oh, he played better than Kyrie."
Exactly.
Oh, yeah,
so
we're not gonna miss Kyrie.
So if you get that guy back in the deal.
Right.
It's a different deal.
Yeah.
And I think people thought that he was going to be that guy. And it turns out that his hip was never the same, and he hasn't been right since. But I think it's reasonable to think
that he
was going to be.
Has he even played this year yet?
No. For Denver? I don't think so.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He hasn't even played this year.
I mean, he ain't getting Jamal Murray's
it's
minutes.
It's kind of a sad situation. So
it is. But, I mean, and he lost a lot of money, too. But I think that the Cavaliers, they made a good deal. When you look at, like, what Minnesota got back for Jimmy Butler today. Mm-hmm. And you compare that to what the Cavs got. The Cavs got a lottery pick,
right,
which ended up being an eighth pick in Colin Sexton. But the Cavs got a lottery pick. And again, at the time, that was going into the season when everybody knew that Brooklyn was going to be terrible. And a lot of people believed that that was going to be a top three
pick
for Brooklyn. Now, as it turned out, it wound up being eighth. But at the time, people were like, okay, this could be a top three, top five pick. Plus an all-NBA point guard in Isaiah Thomas. Plus Jay Crowder, who can defend and shoot threes on a great deal.
Thought Jay Crowder would play better,
and he sucked. But the point is that there was a lot there that Cavs fans had to be excited about, and I think that a lot of people are letting hindsight get the best of them when they say that the Cavaliers made a terrible deal for Kyrie. As it turns out, they did not win that deal. Right. But I don't think that it was such a bad deal in the moment. Mm. All right, picking up the pace. Number four. this one was funny. Not to be confused with the melodrama.
Yeah.
You know, when Carmelo went to the Knicks, and I think I had that as an honorable mention, by the way, with Carmelo got traded from Denver to the Knicks with Chauncey Billups. The moral of that story was, if you know a player is going to come to your team at the end of the season when his contract runs out, don't trade away your whole roster to get him 3 months earlier. And that's what the Knicks did.
Thirsty.
But there's two ways to look at that, because you could get burned, like the Lakers got burned by Paul George doing the same thing.
Just say, I'm not coming. I'm going
to
just stay where
I'm at. Everybody thought Paul George was going to the Lakers, and then the Lakers didn't go trade for him, and then Paul George ends up burning them. So, I mean, there's two ways to look at it, but that's what happened with the Knicks. They gave up too much to get Melo.
That's
going to
be a mistake for Paul George's career, but that's another.
Probably so. But they had the melodrama. The Dwight mare, though.
Oh, God. I almost forgot about that.
The Dwight mare is at number four.
I actually went to a game in Orlando when he came back, and it was hilarious. Like, the first time he came back as a Laker to Orlando, I was at the game, and it was just, like, ridiculous. Like, Dwight Mare jerseys and cross out the H with duct tape and put Coward. Like, it was hilarious.
So, I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
So what was funny about that was that
was a mess. That whole thing.
Dwight Howard went to Orlando Magic management and asked for Stan Van Gundy to be fired, right, the coach. Yeah. He tried to get Stan fired.
And then tried to lie about it, so he didn't do it.
It got back to Stan. So, you know, Stan keeps $100. He keeps it $150. Mm-hmm. So Stan goes in front of the media and says, yeah, I heard about Dwight. Yeah, he tried to get me out of here, you know, whatever. And he told the media, and then Dwight comes up and tries to play it off, and Dwight put his arm around Stan Van Gundy.
Stan was like,
Stan just standing there looking at him. And then Stan, like, kind of like, all right. And then he kind of, like, does the Peter Griffin. He says, I got to hit the old dusty trail, and eases out of this frame. He eases out of the frame. And then the management is left asking, or excuse me, the media is left asking Dwight Howard, Stan just said that you tried to get him fired. And Dwight's like, no, I didn't. And it's like, Stan just said you did.
Yes, you did, Dwight. Stop lying.
Right. That was insane to watch that whole thing play out in front of the media like
crazy.
That
was crazy.
And some of the people, you know, some people were getting on Stan Van Gundy for that. I think the inside the NBA guys might have had some feelings for Stan about that, but, you know, or that the Magic should have kept it all in house. It got leaked. You know, loose lips sink ships. And he
goes to the Lakers, and you see how that turned out.
Yeah, and he does nothing with the Lakers. But Dwight Howard, you know, this was in 2012. So, as you know, we laugh at Dwight Howard now. He's a punching line. He's a punchline.
Dwight Howard's a monster.
He's a punchline / punching bag. That's right. What he is now. Right. But Dwight Howard in 2009, Dwight Howard went to the finals and I think was second or third in the league in MVP voting.
Yeah,
I think he was second or third again in 2011. I think the year Derrick Rose won it, I think LeBron might have been second and Howard might have been third, something like that.
True.
Dwight Howard was a great player.
Right.
I think he won Defensive Player of the Year four times. He's a shoe-in Hall of Famer.
He was legit, yeah. He was Defensive Player of the Year every year.
Yeah, and they took that inside-out thing to another level with Orlando, with it surrounding them with the shooters.
Oh, right.
I mean, they had a good run.
They torched us.
They torched the Cavaliers, absolutely. Sure. Number three, if I can find it on my list. Oh, guy's about to play right now. We already talked about him. CP3 gets traded.
New Orleans.
From the New Orleans Hornets. To the Los Angeles Lakers.
Right.
He goes to the Lakers.
And then what happens, Justin?
And then David Stern calls the league.
What a joke, man.
David Stern says, yo, time out. Pause. We ain't doing this.
And the reason why is because the NBA at the time owned the Hornets.
Yes.
Because they didn't have an owner, which is the only reason why this was able to happen.
But even still, the idea that a trade was blocked.
Blocked.
Like,
because the NBA owned the team.
Right. I mean, I get it. And so they said, Chris Paul was traded to LA. 2 hours later, they blocked, the word broke that they blocked the trade. Everybody's on the phone like, yo, what? Because we had never seen nothing like that before since.
Just assumed he was on the Lakers. Like, yo, he's on the Lakers now. Let's go. Like,
he blocked it. They blocked the trade. And Chris Paul, again, Chris Paul's a top five player.
Chris Paul's about to file a lawsuit against the league. Remember that?
Do you think he would have worked with Kobe? They would have won a lot of games, but
they would have been nice.
But
they would have been nice, but they wouldn't have had Pau.
They're
Gasol,
both a-holes, though.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have had Pau Gasol,
and they wouldn't have Pau Gasol,
and they would have just had Bynum.
And Bynum was about to fall apart.
Bynum. It would have been Bynum, Chris Paul, and Kobe, so probably not.
I mean, so Chris Paul, in case you were wondering, it would have sent Paul to the Lakers. Paul Gasol would have gone to Houston, and New Orleans would have gotten Kevin Martin, Louis Scola, and Lamar Odom from the Lakers. Mm. And Goran Dragic was in that deal, too.
So
it would
have been no more Lamar Odom on the Lakers, either.
Right, so no Lamar. It would have been no Powell. It would have been.
I don't know how they would have.
So it'd have been, yeah, it'd have been. Bynum was the third best player. It would have been Chris Paul and Kobe, and they both need the ball.
Right.
I mean, Chris loves to pass. Kobe loves to shoot. So maybe it would have worked. But those guys are both a-holes, and I say that with as much respect and admiration possible. Those guys are both,
both
pit bulls, alpha males, alpha dogs. Right. I don't know how it would have worked. But then 5 days later, he goes to the Clippers, and in that deal, the Clippers sent Eric Gordon, Chris Kaman, and Al-Farouq Aminu, and Minnesota's unprotected first-round pick was turned into Austin Rivers to the Hornets. So Gordon, Kaman, Aminu, and Austin Rivers for Chris Paul. So what was the better deal for the Hornets? Did they get a demonstrably better deal for the Clippers than they would have got from the Lakers? I don't know.
No, but I mean, they had no choice, really.
I mean, David Stern was calling the shots, so.
Right, so he had to go to the.
But just the idea, the insanity that ensued after a trade of a top five player in the league was blocked by the league. And this is on the heels of, like, the Donaghy stuff, I think.
Yeah, you know
what I'm saying? And now the Lakers are going to get another star player, haven't had enough of those over the years. So I think it's just weird how that played out. I don't know what would have happened. Chris Paul's career might have been a little different had he played with the Lakers instead of the Clippers, because the Clippers are cursed. But and they got that stink on Chris Paul. I don't appreciate that. Number two, Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant,
KD,
was up 3-1. His team blew a 3-1 lead, Rob.
The ultimate punk move, man. The ultimate punk move.
The ultimate hoe ass move of the 21st century was Kevin Durant.
It's like if you go on a playground and a group of your friends fight another group of friends and they beat you up, and then you go join that group of friends now. And then you beat up your friends that you were fighting with before, right? It's the same exact thing, man. Like, it's crazy. Like,
I mean, dog.
Honestly, I think KD and the Warriors.
I don't blame the Warriors at all.
He knew he was going there for 3 years. Let's be
so
honest.
You think he's out of there after this year?
I think he's gone after this year, but I think he knew he was going to go to stay for 3 years. Because I was...
Oh, you
because,
mean 3 years in
because
advance?
Because you remember that, what was it called? ESPN N or one, something like that? Yeah, I used to have somebody's password thing. And I used to read stuff. And I read that.
I was ESPN out, but
I started reading stuff like that. Like, oh, Harrison Barnes is coming off the books in 2016. They're going to go get Durant. They're going
to
go get Durant.
See, but a couple things had to happen for that to happen, though.
Right.
So the TV deal happened.
Right.
The money kicked in.
Yeah.
The Players Association, led by Chris Paul,
right,
said no. They had a chance to extrapolate that money out. That basketball related income they had the opportunity to extrapolate that over some years or get it all at once. The player said no, we want it all at once right now. And as a result, the cap jumps. And so
crazy.
a team like Golden State, who should have been capped out, has all this free space to go
acquire a dude like Durant. Already.
Right. Exactly. And I don't think Durant would have made that move had they beat Golden State. Or had Golden State beaten the Cavs in the finals, but they blew a 3-1 lead. So as a result of the Cavs winning the 2016 finals, the Cavs ended up getting cock-blocked basically from winning the 2017 and 18 finals because they couldn't beat the Warriors with Durant.
So basically blame LeBron.
It's all LeBron's fault.
So basically, if Golden State wins the 2016 finals, does Kevin Durant still go there? Because Draymond Green gets on the phone after the finals
from the parking lot
and starts crying.
From the parking lot, dog. He didn't even get on the bus. He calls him from the parking lot. He called him from East 9th Street. He called him from Huron.
What a
chump. And says, KD, we need you to come save us. We can't beat LeBron.
I mean, it just wasn't competitive that season. Like, you already knew who was winning the championship.
I don't blame the Warriors management one bit for making that move. But I absolutely 100% blame Kevin Durant, and I apologize, you might hear my son in the background crying. He don't like Kevin Durant either. I absolutely blame Durant for choosing that destination, because he could have gone anywhere in the league except Golden State. But he went to a team that had already won a title and then won 73 games.
They didn't really necessarily need him.
Bruh, they won 73 games after they won the title.
73-9.
And then they were 5 points away from winning a second title.
Best team ever.
They did not need him at all.
Ever.
This would have been LeBron leaving the Cavs in 2010 and going joining up with the Celtics.
Boston, right.
That's what this was. I mean, the fact that Kevin Durant did, like, now I understand why he did it because, and I've written about this on the site. You can go check out.
LeBron going to the Lakers after 2010, after the Lakers won the championship.
Right, like, exactly. Like, I understand why Durant did it. He did not want to be on that list with Barkley, Malone, Ewing, Durant. He didn't want his name associated with them.
Kevin Durant wanted his ring by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. And we're so ring thirsty in our culture now.
And then he can bounce and go whenever.
But we're so ring thirsty now in our culture that I understand why he did it for that reason. But it was such a punk move, man. It was the antithesis of competitiveness. Like, I mean, it was such a punk move. I don't care what nobody says. It disrupted the balance of power in the NBA. The Warriors are going to win the title again this year, barring injury. And it's really unfortunate because we lost out on some great potential rivalries. It really killed the momentum of the Cavs-Warriors rivalry. Kyrie leaves Cleveland. The Warriors add Durant. There goes that rivalry.
The rivalry's dead.
The rivalry's dead at that point, but it could have been some epic all-time stuff. You know what I mean? But right. Kevin Durant did what he felt like he had to do to get that title, and he got it. But you can tell by how weirded out they are by their celebrations every year when they win.
They're not even excited.
No. David West has to get on TV and try to convince us that the Warriors went through a lot.
Yeah, okay.
No, you didn't. The Warriors, I'll give them credit for this. The Warriors' selflessness is unbelievable. And the fact that they've been this selfless is you know, a testament to all of them as players. And
I mean, it says a lot about Steph Curry.
Steph Curry especially, yeah. Yes.
He's a leader.
And so they deserve props for that. And Durant deserves props for that, too, because he checked his ego at the door when he went there. But,
right.
I mean, I'm sorry, man. It was the ultimate punk move. He could have gone to any team in the league, or he could have stayed in Oklahoma City, and it would have been different. But to go to, except for the Cavs, he couldn't have gone to the Cavs either because the Cavs won the title that year. But,
right.
But he could have gone to any team in the league, and it would not have been a punk move. But to go that route, and then everybody, he wins two finals and he wins a couple MVPs, and now everybody wants to say he's top five, top 10 all time, or he's the greatest forward ever. I'm like, no, because all that stuff is easier when you have guys like Curry and Thompson playing next to you.
So look at that. Shoot like that besides you, I mean, of course, your job's going to be way easier.
And number one on our list of the 10 craziest transactions of the last 10 years in the NBA, of course, as expected, King James taking his talents to South Beach, going to join the Miami Heat.
That was crazy.
The special, that ridiculous TV special. I hate that. I hate that some people...
Everybody was on pins and needles watching that special.
I hate that. I hate that people are still like the LeBron backers are still kind of like... Well, he did that for charity, and look at it. It's like, bro, he could have cut a check and did the same thing. Like, what he did was he embarrassed the city of Cleveland on national TV.
Exactly.
That's what he did. But
I mean, but back then he was like a little asshole. He didn't really care. He didn't really realize until he left. I don't think it really hit him. He even said it. I didn't really realize the impact I was having until I was gone.
When he came back, he said it was bigger than basketball.
Northeast Ohio.
His presence in Northeast Ohio was bigger than basketball.
He didn't really care.
And then he left again.
I can see he didn't care because he was 25 when he left.
He was 25. He went to go play with his friends in warm weather with no state tax who had championship experience. I mean, it makes sense why he left. He left like $30 million on the table.
Right.
So I didn't think he was going to do that. That's why I always thought he was going to come back. Because up to that point, we had never seen a player turn down that much cash.
Yeah, true.
No, I don't know if it would have made up on it because of the state tax thing, but he turned down $30 million and went on national TV to take a pay cut and embarrass the city of Cleveland and hightail it out of town when he's the one that didn't get the job done specifically in 2010 against Boston. I thought he quit intentionally.
Well,
some people say he choked.
Now he
won't
have that Benedict Arnold tag because he came back and won.
I mean, even though
he bounced again, but still,
yeah, and
it's awesome.
I think the PR benefit or the PR factor was interesting, just seeing how he did the letter in 2014 to come back and get in the good graces of the people from Northeast Ohio. But when he left, he did the TV special,
his reactions of when he won championships, like.
Oh, he was in tears when he won that title.
He was happy. He got his first one, got that monkey off his back in Miami. But it wasn't like when he won in Cleveland. Like,
no,
this dude
it was
fell
different.
Out on the ground crying.
It was different. It was different. Because sports in Miami, Miami produces a lot of good athletes. But sports in Miami is nothing like sports in Cleveland.
No, he was
because crying. Miami has a lot of other stuff going on. I mean, you have cities like Atlanta and Miami that are notoriously bad sports towns. Like, you look at Miami, what was it, 2014 when they won the title? or 2013 when they won the title, and they all left out because they thought the Spurs are going to win in six games, and they, all the fans dipped, and then Ray Allen hit the three, and they're banging on the doors to get back in. That would never happen in Cleveland, you know what I'm saying? So stuff like that. Miami has a bad rap. Atlanta gets a bad rap as a sports town. But that's because those towns have a lot to offer in other areas. Yeah, you can't have it all.
Those towns are clubbing towns and party towns.
Yeah. So LeBron recognized that, and you know he came back and he made amends. But you know, obviously that shook up the entire league, and that paved the way.
That changed the
paved the way for Kevin Durant to go to Golden State. So again, LeBron's to blame.
LeBron's to blame. That just shows the power. LeBron's the most, probably the most powerful athlete of all time.
That'll wrap it up, y'all. Thank y'all for listening to our top 10 craziest, insane NBA transactions of the last decade. Special thanks to my man Rob Parks. Thank you for joining us. No doubt. Appreciate you having me on the podcast. Y'all get back at us. Let us know what you think. Give us your top 10. What did we miss? What did we forget? What are we not considering? Rank them for us, and we'll react to it. Thank y'all for listening. We out. Peace.